Good morning. My name is Marissa, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Sequel Communications Earnings Report for Second Quarter 2012 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Pete Abel, Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to this discussion of the second quarter results for Sequel Communications Holdings One, LLC, and its subsidiaries, which do business as Suddenlink Communications. Before we get started this morning, we would like to remind you that certain statements made during this conference call might be considered forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Act of 1995. Those statements are subject to the various risks and uncertainties described in our annual report, which is posted to our website. These risks and uncertainties could cause actual future results to differ materially from the results expressed or implied by any forward-looking statements made on this call. The information discussed today will be based on our earnings release for the period ended June 30th, 2012. Both our earnings release and quarterly report have been posted to the Investor Relations section of our website at suddenlink.com. The release compares actual and pro forma financial and operating results for the second quarter and first 6 months of 2012 and 2011. Today, our presenters will focus their comments on year-over-year pro forma results for the second quarter. The pro forma information they discuss today includes the acquisition of MPG Cable on April 1, 2011, and excludes the disposition of MP3 Now on June 1, 2012, as if those transactions had been completed on January 1, 2011. MP3 Now is a local cable news and weather station in St. Joseph, Missouri. Suddenlink acquired it as part of the MPG Cable acquisition and sold it back to the original owners for immaterial proceeds. With that, I'll now turn the call over to our CEO, Jerry Kent. Jerry?
Thanks, Pete. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Today, we're really pleased to discuss our second quarter 2012 results that continue to reflect consistently strong financial and operating performances. First, however, I'd like to comment briefly on recent news that I'm sure most of you have heard. On July 18th, we announced an agreement under which BC Partners and CPP Investment Board will join forces with members of Suddenlink's executive management team, specifically our CFO Mary Medusky, COO Tom McMillan, and myself, to acquire the ownership stake of all existing holders of Suddenlink's equity. This transaction values the company at $6.579 billion, which at the time the transaction was announced was 8.6 times first quarter 2012 annualized EBITDA before non-recurring expenses. This transaction is expected to close in the fourth quarter, subject to customary closing conditions, including regulatory approvals. Now, this announcement is a testament to the quality of our more than 6,000 employees, the soundness of our customer-focused business strategy, and the consistent operating and financial results we've achieved. But there are several other important points to note about the acquisition. First, this continues our long and successful track record of delivering superior returns for our investors. Our current investors have been very supportive and had great foresight in improving investments in our plant, people, and new technology. In particular, Project Imagine positions us to be a market leader for the foreseeable future. I'm really pleased that our partners are being rewarded for their confidence in our team and in our strategic execution. With respect to our new equity partners, our leadership team spent many hours meeting with them to ensure that they were a good match with us, that they shared our view on the business and its opportunities, and that they will support our efforts to continue to provide a superior level of customer care. We're excited about the future with our new partners and firmly believe we are positioned to continue building on our long and successful track record. For our investors in the bank and bond credit agreements, thank you for your continued support and for the bank acknowledgement and bond consent. Our team has always strived to be a good corporate partner to our lenders, and I'm really pleased that we were able to work with our new equity partners on a financial structure that maintained our current credit ratings. With that, I'll now turn to some highlights from our second quarter results, which are once again among the very best in the industry. We finished the quarter in outstanding financial condition, delivering our 23rd consecutive quarter pro forma revenue growth. Revenue in the second quarter totaled $513.3 million, a 6.5% increase over the same quarter last year. Second quarter adjusted EBITDA was approximately $198.2 million, a 10.5% increase over the year-ago period. Our 2012 year-to-date revenue and adjusted EBITDA increased 6.4% and 8.6% respectively compared to the first 6 months of 2011. Free cash flow in the second quarter this year was $33.5 million, or almost triple the free cash flow generated in the same quarter last year. Free cash flow was $44.6 million for the first 6 months of 2012. Revenue-generating units, or RGUs, now total approximately 3.48 million, an increase of 149,500 in the trailing 12 months, representing 4.5% annual growth. Focusing on just the second quarter of this year, total RGUs remain relatively flat due to seasonal factors. Now, for many years, the primary seasonal factor affecting our second quarter results was the migration of students out of the major college towns we serve. With last year's acquisition of the NPG properties, we added another seasonal factor, namely retirees and other second homeowners leaving their winter homes in Arizona. Despite these seasonal factors, in the second quarter of this year, our RGU performance improved by more than 8,000 units versus the second quarter of 2011. We outperformed the prior year in residential net gains for basic, digital, and internet customers. ARPU, or average revenue per unit, in the second quarter this year was $137.98. That's 10.6% higher than ARPU in the second quarter last year. We continue to make excellent use of our capital resources. We've already seen, and expect to continue to see, significant return on the infrastructure upgrades we're making through Project Imagine, which we'll complete in the third quarter. Those investments are helping us grow market share by extending our market-leading broadband internet speeds to larger audience and further strengthening advanced services such as high-definition TV, all-digital lineups, and video on demand. As we near the completion of Project Imagine, increased revenue and declining CapEx spending should result in continued expansion in our free cash flow generation. Now, Tom will provide more details momentarily about where we stand with Project Imagine today. Beyond Project Imagine, we continue to innovate and enhance our services in other ways. We have a competitive advantage in the areas where we operate, and we intend to enhance that position. For example, we recently increased speeds of our most popular internet services at no additional charge to our customers. Our 20-meg customers now get 30-meg service. Our 10-meg users now get 15, and we doubled speeds for our entry-level customers. What's more, building our partnership with TiVo, I'm excited about deploying a terrific new video service with them later this year, and I look forward to providing details about that service and its innovative benefits to customers on future calls. We also continue to market compelling double and triple play bundled offerings, which lead to longer customer relationships and make our customers less vulnerable to competitive offers and churn. As of June 30th this year, we had grown total bundled customers to 870,200, a 5.8% increase in the trailing 12 months. Currently, 63.4% of our customers are taking two or more services, and nearly one out of four are taking three services. Between the second quarter 2011 and second quarter of this year, we grew triple play customers, who of course have the lowest churn, by 11%. And while we continue to make investments to enhance our video services, a majority of our gross margin is actually from non-video services. More than one out of six customer relationships is a non-video relationship, and the number of non-video customer relationships grew to 236,000 homes, an 18.7% increase in the 12 months ending June 30th. We also continue to enjoy notable success in our commercial lines of business. Commercial revenue in total grew 16.4% over the second quarter of 2011, while commercial data and telephone revenues on a combined basis grew 22.9% in the 12 months ending June 30th. Our carrier business continues to see ongoing demand from wireless carriers that need higher bandwidth connectivity between cell towers and central offices. Already, 2012 is a record year for our fiber-to-the-tower business, and we see a long path of strong growth ahead. While this may mean additional capital expenditures to deliver these services, it's an attractive, success-based investment that we expect will drive revenue and EBITDA growth. Looking ahead, we'll continue to focus on our goals of growing customer relationships, increasing market share with bundled services, enhancing the customer experience, and delivering a consistently strong financial and operating performance. And I'll turn the call over to Tom McMillan, our Chief Operating Officer, to provide additional perspective on our operating achievements in the second quarter. Tom.
Thanks, Jerry, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to expand on some of the operating results that Jerry touched on, looking specifically at performance in the second quarter. In doing so, I'll use the pro forma comparisons included in the earnings release. On that basis, as Jerry noted, we added 149,500 RGUs in the trailing 12-month period. On basic video, we ended the second quarter with approximately 1.23 million customers. Our anticipated seasonal decline of 20,100 in the current quarter represented an improvement of 17.6% as compared to our decline in the second quarter of 2011. Basic penetration of estimated homes passed at June 30 was 40.6%. On digital video, we ended the quarter with 807,700 customers, up approximately 11,300 units in the quarter, nearly double the digital customer additions during the second quarter of last year. For the trailing 12 months, we have added approximately 75,600 units, representing 10.3% growth. Digital penetration of basic video customers at the end of the quarter was 65.7%, up from 57.5% a year ago. Along with our growth in digital video, we added more than 3,500 DVR customers during the second quarter of 2012 and more than 22,800 over the last 12 months, an annual growth rate of 6.4%. DVR penetration of digital customers was 46.8%. We added more than 25,300 HD customers in the second quarter, and we have added more than 115,200 HD customers over the last 12 months, representing 28.4% annual growth and bringing HD penetration of digital customers to 64.5%, up from 55.5% a year ago. Our sell-in rate of HD to new digital customers is 76%. Total penetration of advanced digital services, both DVR and HD customers, stood at 66.5% of digital customers at the end of the second quarter 2012, up from 58.4% at the end of the second quarter 2011. On high-speed internet, we finished the quarter with 979,400 residential customers, and, as expected, we lost 3,200 customers during the quarter due to seasonality, an improvement over the loss in the second quarter of last year. Since June 2011, we have added approximately 65,200 units, or 7.1% growth. As a result, residential data penetration was 33.3% of estimated data homes passed, up from 31.7% a year ago. As mentioned on previous calls, a complement to our high-speed internet service is Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home service. More than one of every three, or 35% of our new high-speed internet customers purchased this service during the second quarter as we added more than 9,300 Suddenlink Wi-Fi at home customers. In the previous 12 months, our wireless home networking service grew 78.8% with a net gain of more than 65,500. On telephony, we finished the quarter with 462,700 residential customers, up 9,500 units during the quarter and 52,800 units, or 12.9% since the year-ago period. As a result, residential telephony penetration at June 30 was 18.9%, meaning we're serving nearly one in five of the estimated telephony homes we passed. As we have discussed on previous calls, we have active network passing more than 3 million homes, and we place a great deal of emphasis on growing the number of these homes we serve with one or more of our services. We refer to these as customer relationships. We ended the quarter with approximately 1,372,000 relationships. That figure is 2,000 customer relationships higher than the year-ago period. A significant number of new customer relationships are non-video, higher-margin customers that have more than compensated for losses in lower-margin, mostly single-play video relationships. Our 49,900 commercial internet customers at June 30 represented 10.4% growth over the trailing 12 months. And even more impressive, our 21,200 commercial phone customers at June 30 represented a 39.5% increase since the second quarter of 2011. During the quarter alone, we added 1,100 commercial internet customers and 1,600 commercial phone customers, neither of which is included in the RGU performance previously discussed, and both of which represent accelerated performance versus the net adds in the second quarter of last year. We are proud of our market share gains in the small to medium business sector and are optimistic that we will continue to gain share. We've also continued to see growth in our business of providing fiber to the tower for cellular carriers. This segment continues to offer a great opportunity with up to 3,000 addressable towers in our footprint. Today, we have 1,296 tenants under contract, with 542 of those installed and the balance in process. Additionally, we have verbal awards from prospective tenants awaiting formal agreements, and we continue to receive a steady flow of upgrade orders from existing tenants to increase their existing capacity. As Jerry mentioned, I want to comment briefly on our progress in the second quarter on Project Imagine. We achieved the following Project Imagine milestones as of June 30. DOCSIS 3.0 technology was deployed to cable systems serving 91% of customers. Video on-demand service was available to 89% of basic video customers. On-demand content includes more than 10,000 titles, including more than 2,000 HD titles. Customer VOD streams in June were approximately 5.2 million, about 22% higher than the number of streams in June of last year. Access to high-definition services was at 96%, and our weighted average number of HD channels was at 85, with some markets providing 100 or more HD channels. Our current lineup of HD services has increased dramatically from the 24 HD channels we offered on average before the start of Project Imagine. I might note that this Project Imagine data does not include the MPG properties we acquired last year. As mentioned on previous calls, we have invested in these markets as well to connect them to our backbone and bring similar products and services to customers in Arizona and Missouri. Beyond Project Imagine, I would single out the following initiatives. One, we have continued to expand the availability of Suddenlink TiVo Premier DVR service, which is now available to more than three-fourths of our customers. And we look forward to upcoming launches of new services with TiVo in the coming months. Two, our Connected Protected Home Security service is available to 70% of our customers. We grew home security customers by more than 5,300 units, or 38.3%, in the 12 months ended June 30. Three, our online video service, Suddenlink To Go, is available across our entire footprint. Since we began offering this service, we've seen the number of video streams grow consistently each quarter. The quarter ended June 30 was our best yet, with 1.87 million video streams, a 47% increase over the third quarter of 2011, which was the first full quarter we offered the service. We just recently launched Viacom networks, including MTV, BET, Comedy Central, Spike, Nickelodeon, and VH1. We'll be adding more content over the coming months to further strengthen the appeal of this service. Finally, I want to mention a recent storm that impacted electric power service to more than 700,000 West Virginia residences, including many of our customers in West Virginia. As a result, many customer services were unavailable in their homes for several days in early July. I want to praise the work of our teams in West Virginia and surrounding areas for their exceptional efforts in communicating with impacted customers in the aftermath of this unusual storm. We are quantifying the net impact of the storm, and we believe it will not be material to our overall financial results. Thank you for your time. I'd now like to turn things over to our CFO, Mary Medusky, for a closer look at our financial results during the quarter. Mary?
Thanks, Tom. Today I will discuss the financial results for Sequel Communications Holdings One, LLC, and subsidiaries for the second quarter of 2012, adding to what Jerry and Tom have already provided. I'll also discuss our balance sheet and liquidity position. As Jerry mentioned, on July 18th, Sequel Communications Holdings, LLC, the equity parent of Suddenlink, announced that it, BC Partners, CPP Investment Board, the existing common equity owners, and Sequel 3 in its capacity as manager, entered into a purchase agreement with respect to the equity interests of Suddenlink. The total purchase price is $6.579 billion. $2.485 billion of which will be paid in cash to the existing equity owners, with the remainder comprised of net liabilities that will remain following closing. The $2.485 billion cash payment will be funded with $1.985 billion of new cash common equity contributions from BC Partners, CPP Investment Board, and certain members of executive management, specifically Jerry, Tom, and me, as well as $500 million from proceeds of a new fully committed unsecured bridge facility or an equivalent amount of high-yield debt proceeds. The resulting equity capitalization of Suddenlink will be approximately 30%. The acquisition is expected to close in the fourth quarter of 2012, subject to customary closing conditions, including receipt of required regulatory approvals. Suddenlink will continue to be managed by Sequel 3 LLC pursuant to the management agreement. As a result, this transaction will not result in a change of control under the bond indenture or credit agreement. On July 31, 2012, Suddenlink received an acknowledgement from a majority of our lenders under the credit facility that a change in the management agreement with Sequel 3 will not be materially adverse to Suddenlink or the lenders. The effect of this change to the management agreement will be to allow the agreement to continue with the same services and economic terms as before. Additionally, on August 6th, the company received consent from a majority of noteholders to increase the restricted payment capacity under the indenture governing the notes. The consent enables all of the new $500 million unsecured debt to be issued at Sequel Communications Holdings One, LLC, the current high-yield bond issuer, instead of a newly formed SuperHold co-parent, thereby reducing future interest costs. The company has received notification from both Moody's and S&P that this transaction is not expected to affect our existing credit ratings and outlook. Now for a few comments on our second quarter financial results. At June 30, our total debt outstanding was approximately $4.19 billion, comprised of $1.825 billion face amount of 8.625% senior notes at Sequel Communications Holdings 1, $2.195 billion of senior secured term loans at Sequel Communications LLC, $160 million drawn under our $500 million revolving credit facility at Sequel Communications LLC, and $7.3 million of capital leases and other obligations at Sequel Communications LLC. At June 30, we had approximately $76.6 million of cash on hand. We had approximately $324 million available under our $500 million revolving credit facility, after taking account of $160 million borrowings and $16 million of letters of credit. Our secured bank leverage was 2.98 times, in compliance with our bank covenant at June 30 with significant cushion. Our total leverage was 5.5 times at June 30. Net of all cash, our leverage was 5.44 times. On May 11, 2012, Suddenlink used cash on hand to make a distribution to Sequel Communications Holdings, LLC, of $70 million. This distribution was used to repay a portion of the capital contributions made by holders of common units and to make certain payments to holders of options and restricted units. Regarding our interest rate hedges, we had three swaps totaling $950 million terminate in early April 2012. Our last remaining swap for $400 million will terminate in October 2012. As Jerry mentioned, total revenue for the second quarter of 2012 was $513.3 million, representing growth of 6.5% or $31.2 million over the second quarter 2011. ARPU was $137.98, an increase of 10.6%. Year-over-year video revenues increased 2.6%, primarily due to video rate increases, including higher broadcast retransmission fees and customer growth in our digital and advanced video services, as well as increased converter rental revenue from high-definition and DVR-capable digital converters. Video ARPU was $76.16, up 6.6% from the second quarter 2011. High-speed internet revenue increased 11.8% due primarily to an increase in residential high-speed internet customers, growth in home networking revenue, the impact of residential rate increases, growth in our commercial high-speed internet services to small and medium-sized businesses, and growth in carrier services, including fiber to the tower and optical internet and transport revenues. Residential high-speed internet ARPU was $36.38, up 2.6% from the second quarter 2011. Telephone revenue increased 15.1%, primarily due to an increase in residential telephone customers and, again, growth in our commercial telephone services to small and medium-sized businesses. This was offset in part by bundling and promotional discounts. Residential telephone ARPU was $29.21, down 1.5% from the second quarter 2011. Advertising revenue increased 11.4%, largely due to higher national and local advertising sales revenue, primarily from increased political and automotive advertising. Other revenue increased 4.8% due to increased administrative fee revenues, higher security service revenue, wire maintenance revenue, and increased commercial installation revenue. These were offset in part by lower basic and video telephone installation revenue. Our commercial lines of business embedded in the results I've already described are comprised of commercial and bulk video, commercial high-speed internet, on- and off-net carrier sales, and commercial telephone. Commercial revenue totaled $63 million, or 12.3% of total revenue, and represented growth of 16.4% versus the second quarter 2011. Within the commercial revenue category, our commercial data and telephone business grew 22.9% on a year-over-year combined basis, and our on-net carrier business, including fiber to the tower, grew 69.7% year-over-year. Operating costs and expenses rose 4.1%, primarily due to higher programming costs and retransmission consent expenses, increased net labor and employee-related costs, and increased marketing costs. The increase from last year was offset in part by $4.7 million of 2011 non-recurring expenses associated with the purchase of NPG in the second quarter 2011, for which there was not a comparable expense in the 3 months ending June 30, 2012. Adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter 2012 was $198.2 million, an increase of 10.5% from the same quarter last year, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 38.6%, an increase of 140 basis points from the second quarter 2011. Excluding the impact of certain non-recurring expenses in 2012 and 2011, primarily associated with compensation expense related to our May 12 equity distribution and the 2011 acquisition and integration of NPG Cable, adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter 2012 would have increased 7.6% compared to the second quarter of 2011, with adjusted EBITDA margin of 38.6%, a 40 basis point improvement from the prior year. Second quarter 2012 capital expenditures were $95.4 million, compared to approximately $94.5 million in the second quarter 2011. That figure includes Project Imagine and the success-based capital totaling approximately $22.8 million. Since inception of Project Imagine in the fourth quarter of 2009, we have spent 96% or $335.2 million of the planned three-year, $350 million capital program. We expect total capital expenditures for all of 2012 to be on the high side of our previously established range of $325 to $345 million, largely due to success in our commercial and fiber-to-the-tower businesses. As Jerry mentioned, free cash flow in the second quarter was $33.5 million, compared to $11.8 million in the second quarter 2011. The $21.7 million, or 184.1% increase in free cash flow this quarter compared to 2011, is due to improved operating results and a decline in cash interest expense resulting from expiring interest rate hedges, offset in part by a very slight increase in capital expenditures. We would expect continued growth in free cash flow for the remainder of 2012. I'll now conclude my remarks and turn the call back over to the operator to facilitate questions. I would like to remind everyone that this is a public call and we will generally refrain from discussing information other than what is disclosed in our earnings release and quarterly report. Operator?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of David Sherritt with Barclays.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the question. If I can maybe just start with the transaction that was recently announced and the new ownership. Just wondering if you can comment, Jerry, just on your perspective and your discussions there on, you know, if we should expect any changes on views on leverage, views on M&A and scale of the business or dividend policy going forward. Maybe just start there and then have one other question.
Okay, sure, David. We met with, as I mentioned, we met with our partners a number of times. And we did have lengthy discussions about dividends and leverage levels. And as you can imagine, initially, I think the buyers would have preferred to maximize leverage. And we were certainly advised that we could go significantly higher than what we launched the acquisition with. But, our partners were very on board with the fact that we've told the market that we're cognizant of our ratings and that we didn't want to do anything that would jeopardize those ratings, so we were able to craft a financial structure that was consistent with what we've said all along in the past. And frankly, I barring something highly unusual that I don't foresee now, I think that, it's a status quo, and going forward we'll be in the same shape. And so in terms of leverage and dividends, I really don't think you should expect any major changes going forward. On acquisitions, to be perfectly frank, in the past year we had investors who had been in there a number of years. One had been in there basically almost 10 years. Another one had been in there for 8 years, and the rest have been in over six. And for those type of investors, that's more than a lifetime. And so it did put a little bit of governor on what we were looking to do from an acquisition standpoint. I would say once this acquisition of Suddenlink is closed, it would allow us to be slightly more aggressive in the marketplace. But, we're not trying to grow just for growth's sake. We will continue to look at things that make sense for us, that will be strategic, and that are really a good match with our asset base. So while I would say we could be slightly more aggressive in the marketplace, I wouldn't expect for you to see us go on an acquisition binge.
Right, and any M&A would still be within the context of protecting the ratings and the leverage profile.
As we've said, we are very cognizant of our ratings, and we don't want to do anything that would jeopardize those ratings.
Great. Thank you. And if I could just follow up on one just operating point, the commercial segment looked like it was very strong this quarter and did pick up speed growth, 5% over the first quarter, and the year-over-year growth is picking up. Just wondering if you could talk a little more about the drivers there on the small medium side. You touched on that. Is it is it the sales force is increased or just a higher hit rate on sales there, or is it, you know, more fiber to the tower that's contributing? And maybe if you could just tie that into just what you're seeing in terms of the economic impact on the commercial side and kind of how that trended through the second quarter and early into the third. Thanks.
Right. So as it relates to our accelerating performance, there's probably it's attributable to a number of things, a couple of which I would mention. The first is, as we've noted before, we've been rolling out some wideband product. That's a 20x5 and 50x8 product that's priced in between our traditional cable modem business service and our optical services. Those come at $250 to $300 price points. And we've seen both new customer acquisition improve with respect to that, as well as upgrades from existing customers with our cable modem product now taking our wideband product. So that has clearly helped. At the same time, we've augmented our sales force where appropriate, both internal as well as feet on the street, to respond to greater customer demand and making sure that we're properly covering the market opportunity out there in terms of reaching potential customers.
And maybe lastly, David, we're doing an increasingly good job of converting the sales in the fiber to the tower business to installs, putting them into our, of course, our reportable revenue, and you're starting to see the evidence of that in the results.
And the economic impact you've seen in the last few months on business formation and trends there?
I would say that it's, you know, fair, no changes from our standpoint. I think we continue to see good demand from those customers. As you know, and we framed this up before, this is a billion-plus dollar kind of opportunity of small and medium businesses, and what they're spending today on telecommunication services in our footprint. So it's you know, a lot of this is not even about new business formation. It's about taking share from other providers.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Yep.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Ted Ely with SunTrust.
Hi, guys. I just had a quick question concerning the 8 5/8 notes. I mean, I know now that you've gotten that the consent out of the way. I was just curious what you might be thinking strategically. Obviously, that is callable debt, albeit at a high call price. Is that something you're going to evaluate based on the market this year, or do you have a set kind of timing in terms of how you would look at that?
As we proceed towards the end of the year, and as we approach the call date on the bonds, we will, of course, look at our economic analyses, and we will act accordingly. We understand that, you know, we're approaching the call date. We understand where the high-yield market is trading right now, and we understand that there are opportunities for us, in whole or in part, with regard to that $1.8 billion. And so we leave those options on the table. We also have now long-term investors. So over time, we will look to extending the maturities on those bonds. That would be natural for us to do. All of those things are options that we will look at as we approach the end of the year.
It really will be market-driven. We'll see what the market looks like when it's time for us to go out. And we'll continue to just be opportunistic.
Thank you, guys.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for your continued interest in Sequel Communications. We really appreciate it, and have a great day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.